When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
It's 1994, and an enterprising tabloid journalist, my favorite kind of journalist, has hit pay dirt. Someone, still unknown, in a Sao Paulo coroner's office has slipped him some photos and a coroner's report. It's not about the death of a celebrity or a politician. A body had been found in 1988, and for the most part, this went unremarked on. The release of the coroner's report, though, would blow the barn doors off the story. The manner in which this individual had died could be among the most disturbing deaths I've ever come across in researching this podcast. Today, we're going to meet the horror in Billings Reservoir.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Calderoni, this is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined as usual by
Vincent Calderoni.
And this week we're bringing you a really shocking story, frankly. This is kind of shocking. Especially if you see the pictures, which I don't actually recommend, but you know.
Don't. So Joe, you know what's cool about listening to a podcast?
What's that?
Having graphic and traumatizing images described to you through the host's filter.
Mm.
What would you say is uncool about researching a podcast?
I do not know, Vincent. What?
You have to actually see the said graphic and traumatizing images.
That's
and in
true.
This case, oof.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Joe, the details here, they really shocked me.
Yeah, no, I've seen the photos as well.
I know, sent them to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I've seen worse, but they're still pretty appalling.
They're up there, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, because we're talking about not just like, you know, guts and things like that. We're talking about depravity.
Oh.
Sadistic. I mean, the most vicious, sadistic behavior, you know, it's right up there.
It's up there.
Yeah. It's really up there. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, one or two other cases I'd put it on par with it. Outside of that, this is some next level stuff.
It is.
We are, just in case you're wondering, we are going to describe this in graphic detail, but mm-hmm. we're not going to get super specific about it.
Yeah.
I was careful in how I wrote it to be like, we're not going to give you every little nick and cut.
No.
And we're which I could, because I did find the coroner's report in Portuguese and translated it.
We are going to go light on the sound effects, too, so not a lot of squishing, disgusting noises or anything like that.
But so use your discretion. This is an intense one, but we're going to soft pedal it a little bit without skipping any of the vital information you need to know for the pod.
Absolutely.
You know, to understand the story.
Yeah, you probably won't throw up, but let's tell our story here. Let's go back to the afternoon of September 29th, 1988. And this was, by the way, six full years before the report actually became public. Six full years it sat gathering dust and just forgotten. But on that day in 1988, a young boy was walking alone along the banks of the reservoir. Probably the last time he ever went walking alone along the banks of that reservoir. But he was had a sling or a slingshot. I'm not sure which. But he set out after school that afternoon with the intention of hunting birds with the old slingshot. He spotted a group of vultures on the opposite bank, not too far from where he was at. And they were all gathered around what looked like a carcass, but there were too many of them. It was just too crowded to see what kind of animal they were scavenging on. He scared the birds away by throwing a rock at them. And only then does he get to see the, horror that was underneath the vultures. It was the corpse, a very badly mutilated corpse of a human being.
This poor kid, he turns heel and he runs to the nearest village and he told the folks there what he had found. The police were, of course, called. Fire trucks and officers from the Santo Amaro Police Department arrived on the scene. very quickly.
Yeah, and Santa Amaro, by the way, that is a suburb of Sao Paulo, correct?
I believe, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, by the way, a mega huge city in South America, if you don't know that, in Brazil. Yeah,
Sao Paulo is massive, and the Billings Reservoir is outside of Sao Paulo and supplies it with power and drinking water and stuff like that. Santa Amaro is one of the villages outside of it. I believe it would have been the nearest police precinct to where the body was found, but yeah. I'm not 1,000% on that.
But yeah, if you look at the aerials, yeah, that just to give you some context, so Billings Reservoir is not out in the middle of nowhere. Actually, the northern shores of it, I mean, the suburbs of Sao Paulo, come right up to the reservoir. So it's not a remote location or anything like that.
It's not the middle of nowhere. It is worth noting, though, that it's a very large reservoir, and
it's parts enormous. Of it yeah.
are fairly rural and were back then.
Yeah, so. Well, it's so big that, yeah, if you go to the south side of it, it's a little more remote,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death on this reservoir, it's not exactly uncommon. People from Sao Paulo and the surrounding villages often come there to swim. And well, not everyone who goes in for a dip gets back out.
Well, it's that same thing happens here. We get drownings all the time up here. Yeah.
Drownings were and are a fact of life. The reservoir also, though, and this is the darker side of it, had been used as probably still to this day, used as a dump site for the bodies of victims of, sort of assorted gangland killings in Sao Paulo, which has a pretty high crime rate.
I hear there's a lot of that going on there, yeah.
There's plenty of it, yeah. But this, what these guys found, this was something different altogether. This was not the normal thing that they found, that they were used to finding on the banks of this reservoir.
It was definitely in a whole new class. So. Yeah. By late afternoon, the area had been cordoned off, of course, by police and medical personnel, as people in the surrounding villages, of course, talked about the discovery amongst themselves and did a little rubbernecking, but nothing was actually reported on the news or in the tabloids or the papers about this. Apparently, either it was hushed up or else it just wasn't newsworthy.
Joe, is that not all that many people were able to get a look at the body.
Yeah.
So finding a body on the banks of the reservoir, not uncommon.
Yeah.
What happened to this particular body that we're going to describe is uncommon, but not that many people got eyes on it who weren't officials.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was just sort of went under the radar, fell between the cracks there. But under cover of darkness, they took the body out. That's when they moved it. And they just quietly took the body away. And after that, the incident began to slip from the minds of the local people. And it sort of passed into local lore, but it wasn't that huge of a deal again, because it's not that uncommon. And that's where it would have stayed, except for...
Well, this brings us to 1994, when the coroner's report and the accompanying photographs were mysteriously, I'm doing air quotes you can't see, mysteriously leaked to the press. And reports appeared in various newspapers and publications over the next few weeks. The details regarding the state in which the body was found, they're not for the faint of heart.
No.
And, we've kind of set it up. But
yeah, we already warned you.
You've been warned. These details had authorities questioning who or what could have even done this to a human body.
Mm-hmm.
And, if it was even possible to inflict this kind of injury on a person.
Yeah. What's the technology used here? Yeah, it is a little mysterious.
It is.
The identity of the unfortunate corpse was determined by dental records. So. We're not going to give out the guy's name. You can find it if you do some really intense searching of the interwebs. But, the identity of the guy is actually not that important. It appears, though, that he was not connected to any gangs or any criminal activity that we know
Nothing
of.
Nothing like that.
Not at all. So, so it wasn't gang warfare that he was a part of. So that was not the motive for this killing. Nobody seemed to have a motive to murder this guy.
Not that I could find. Not that anyone could find contemporary. So when you look at the newspaper reports from 1994, some of which I was able to read via Google Translate, guy didn't really have anything that would make anyone want to hurt him that anyone was aware of.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that there wasn't something that we're not aware of, but that's part of why I've left him anonymous, is that he seems to have been, near as I can tell, a completely innocent victim.
Yeah, definitely. Because even if somebody wanted to hurt him, if somebody was motivated by, say, revenge or whatever, must have been a pretty, pretty big thing. Because, what was done to this guy was just, But anyway, I was thinking I would leave it up to you, Vincent, to describe the what the autopsy report said about the state of the body.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, it's fun. This is joyous.
So the autopsy report stated the eyes had been extracted and the eyelids cut away with a sharp tool, a scalpel or a very sharp knife, for example.
And I want to say, by the way, this is beyond torture, because what you're doing to a person is by cutting away just all the flesh around the eye socket, you're making it impossible for them to even put a glass eye in later on.
Yeah,
you're totally disfiguring this person.
Yeah.
A real act of hatred, if you ask me. It's so sadistic. That's just
so sadistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to say that we don't know how many of these things that were done to him were done while he was alive.
Yeah.
But to give away the farm a little bit, he was alive for some of them.
Yeah. It does appear that way. Yes.
It is almost certain. So his tongue had been removed and the left ear had been sliced off cleanly. Mm. The lips and flesh around the jaw had been excised and a significant piece of the jawbone was missing, having been sawed away with a fine instrument, a surgical or a jewelry saw.
Somebody brought their Dremel with them, you know?
Yes.
A little something cutting like that. Wheel. Again, the intent to disfigure this guy. It seems to me that's what they were doing.
Oh, horribly.
Yeah, yeah.
Investigators found that the armpits had each been punctured by a single hole, precisely 1.5 inches in diameter, or that would be 3.8 centimeters. Similar holes, nearly the exact same size. I mean, within tiny tolerances, were found elsewhere around the arms and the legs.
Yeah. It's almost as if it looks like somebody took a hole saw to this guy.
It's really what it looked like.
It is. Yeah, it does.
We'll get into it later, but the coroner described it as looking like cookie cutters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're very clean, perfectly circular. You couldn't, you know, if I gave you a piece of pork and I was like, yeah, cut a circle in this. You couldn't cut it that circular.
No.
Not by hand, not freehand. Maybe somebody could, but I mean, a layperson sure as hell couldn't.
Yeah, no.
So similar holes were found on the arms and legs, where it was discovered that flesh, including entire muscles, had been extracted from within these apertures, as they were described. So for out of the holes, muscle, just whole pieces of muscle were pulled out.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and this is what's interesting about this is, again, getting back to what I was saying about really hating this guy so much. So you not only disfigure him horribly, but you suction out entire muscles so that the guy is left crippled. Yeah.
Most of these wounds were, you could put together a scenario really easily in your mind where the torturer, the person who is doing this is trying to do the most damage and still keep the individual alive.
Yeah.
And that is horrifying.
Yeah, basically, you're keeping the guy alive and just doing this stuff to him and saying, ha ha, look at that. You're going to look like a monster. And ha ha, look at that. You're not going to be able to use your arms ever again.
You'll never be able to see. You'll always look like a freak. You won't be able to walk.
And you won't be able to even hold a cup of coffee in your hand, you know, because we've sucked away the muscles that would allow you to do that. And this is some serious depravity here.
And so I guess the last point that I should make before I close up this extremely dark part of the podcast is that there were two holes laid out on opposite sides of the body symmetrically. Also, those located in the limbs and in the armpits were found to be symmetrically laid out as well.
Yeah, every one of these holes had its counterpart on the other side of the body. It's interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
And remember this, because it seems to have been, for lack of a better term, design.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody was saying, I'm doing this to this side and that to this side and laying it out. It did not appear to be a random attack. It seemed like some form of intelligence, probably human intelligence or something like that, went in to say, I'm going to put one here, I'm going to put one here, and then I'm going to put one there. Mm-hmm. Not. Well, for example, as we'll come up, vultures randomly pecking at a body.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's not a random. Yeah, definitely. And that's maybe there were two. Maybe there were two torturers here.
Maybe, yeah.
One on each side. Precisely replicating each other's work. Maybe. Maybe that was, I don't know, man. Yeah.
Synchronized torture.
This is, I mean, besides being disturbing, this is just a head scratcher, you know, of a story. But you'll figure that out. Let's see here. I guess it's my turn to describe some of this nasty stuff here. Let me take this one. So when the coroner attempted to inspect the state of the victim's internal organs, he got another nasty little surprise. To his shock, the organs had been removed. But there was no major incision or anything like that. But despite that, the liver, kidneys, stomach, the large and small intestines, and the pancreas were all gone, missing. and the chest and the stomach were sunken inwards because of all that missing material. And you can see that pretty clearly in the photos. At first I thought it almost looked like the guy's sucking at his gut really hard.
Yeah, but, that is what it looks like. Yeah, good point.
But yeah, I mean, but yeah, it's not the case at all. His guts had been sucked out is what had happened. Because as I said, there were no incisions in the abdomen, which is what you would expect to see. Because this wouldn't be the first murder where the internal organs have been taken out. But
no.
But there's always got to be a way in, right? But not in this case. But there was another one of those little small cookie cutter holes right where the navel should have been. It was similar to the other holes again. So apparently that must have been the exit for all those organs. They were all sucked out, apparently, I guess.
It's hard to say. It's also worth noting, I think we're going to talk about it at some point, his whole rectum had been removed.
Yeah.
So some of that may have been taken out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, yeah, and that implies to the, I don't know if they could have done it right there on the spot. That would take a pretty, pretty large size vacuum cleaner to suck that stuff out of you, I would think. You know?
They do make those.
Yeah.
Bonnie could probably tell us all about this, but they do make those. They're these crazy suction devices that suck the organs out of corpses.
Yeah.
Maybe they use that on them. Or, I don't know.
Yeah. That's but that obviously is it. They didn't cut them open. They just punched holes in them and sucked stuff out.
Pretty hard to imagine how this process worked just on a physical level. Let's not get into too many details about this. Like we said, the organs that were removed, the coroner believed that they had been sucked out through this cookie cutter hole where the navel had been.
Yeah.
And also possibly through this gaping convex that was formerly his rectum.
Yeah.
The victim's colon had also been cut out. Like we said, there's a rectum.
Yeah, through the rectum, yeah.
Yeah, so that whole part of him was missing. Luckily for you guys, I went and looked at the pictures, and I can tell you that his penis was intact. However, his scrotum and testes were removed with the exact same surgical precision of the rest of his injuries. I mean, it's a clean, uniform cut.
Once again, that's like, you know, if you really want to get a guy where it hurts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cut off the old family jewels, man.
Guess so.
Again, this is indicative to me of some serious, serious hatred.
Oh, right.
You know,
real rage at this individual.
Yeah, or maybe not. Maybe some random unfortunate soul, and it was just an incredibly vicious sociopathic person. I mean, but here's another interesting factoid for you: every single drop of blood had been drained from the body because they didn't find any blood at the scene. So whatever happened to him apparently did not happen on that little beach on the reservoir.
Did not.
And then when they tried to determine what instruments had been used to inflict these injuries, the investigators found that the holes made in the limbs and the torso and in the rectum and everything all had a surgical quality to them. So they weren't made by a rusty knife or anything like that. And to the coroner in his report, he said that all the cuts and incisions and holes had been, quote, made with speed and absolute precision, unquote.
Hmm.
So somebody with surgical experience, maybe.
It seems like, yeah.
Or at least somebody with experience, say, butchering carcasses. Or maybe we could talk to Bonnie about this. Maybe somebody with experience in embalming and, you know, bodies, perhaps.
Yeah.
But also many of the wounds have been cauterized.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I know. Why? Maybe it was cauterized because the intent was to keep this person alive for as long as possible.
That's what I think.
I didn't want them bleeding out. That's cauterized. My theory. The method of cauterization, the instrument used, is unknown.
Yeah.
And here's one of the most strange facts about this is that rigor mortis had not set in despite the death. The death had apparently occurred more than 24 hours before the body was found. So rigor mortis should have set in, and yet apparently it had not.
Yeah.
So, and another interesting fact here is that the corpse did not appear to be decomposing in the usual way because, according to reports, it didn't smell bad. It didn't stink like your average aging corpse usually does, right?
Right.
I mean, it had been baking on a hot sandy beach in Brazil, right? When it was discovered, it should have smelled pretty damn bad, right?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what the temperature was that day, but
yeah, and so no rot, no decomposition, and but you know, you could say, well, maybe they injected it full of preservatives, but no, they didn't. There was no trace of preservatives found in the body.
Nothing like that.
And yet he didn't. He wasn't all as nearly as remotely as rotted as he should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So weird. I don't know.
Now, as we will discuss in the theory section, this next deal matters a lot.
Yeah.
There were no signs reported at the site to indicate that scavengers, specifically vultures, had fed on the flesh or the entrails.
So, now, okay. That's weird because you would expect they would have chewed on it quite a bit.
Why? It seems like there might have been none for them to chew on.
There had to have been something for them to nibble on.
Well,
two or something.
No, you're right, Joe. It is weird. I looked at the pictures and I was looking for wounds that looked like something a vulture would do.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really find any. But okay, so just go with me on this. This is the main thing they're talking about, right?
Yeah.
You picture a nature documentary, right?
Yeah.
The vultures and the scavengers, they're picking apart a carcass, right? Is that a messy or clean affair?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be disgustingly messy.
It's a damn mess, right? Yeah. What they do is they stick their little heads in and they get the good soft stuff that they like.
And
they drag it out and then they pick it apart.
Yeah.
It makes a big damn mess. Working at a zoo just being out in the wilds in Oregon where we definitely have vultures, this happens.
Yeah.
So one thing that you might hear from somebody is something effective. Well, the vultures just ate his organs.
Yeah, maybe if there was a hole punched in his abdomen already giving them easy access, they just poked their heads in there and pulled stuff out and, you know, had a party, you know, but yeah.
There was no trace of his organs at the site. The mm-hmm. things you would expect to see, and of course the people who deal with deaths in this reservoir would be looking for this.
Yeah.
The vultures hadn't pulled pieces of him out.
No, there would have been all kinds of, you know, leftovers.
Traces left in the sand.
There would have been some leftovers and stuff.
Oh, totally. Especially because they were corrupted by the boy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The beach had little, if any, blood on it, and there were no signs of the kind of activity you would look for vultures picking apart a corpse.
Yeah.
And I'm not just telling you that to be gruesome. This is going to come back later. Just keep that in mind.
Let me ask you this. Do you know when they found the body? Was he face up or face down?
Oh, great question.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give you an I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm asking,
the
reason I'm asking is that, you know, as you said, he'd been castrated, but his penis was still there. If he was face up, at least, and even possibly face down, that would have been a nice soft piece of flesh for the vultures to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there's no bite marks on it. They didn't chew on it. So that would mean, that tells me that the body was not there very long before it was found.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, minutes maybe, because I mean, the vultures had already discovered it right fast and the kid shows up and scares them away. And so they had no time to even, you know, make a snack out of, you know, his private parts.
Well, face down or face up, the vultures couldn't have been at him for that long. When you look at those coroner's pictures, they really hadn't done all that much damage to the body itself.
Yeah.
It's pretty well intact. I mean, yeah, it's messed up, but, you know, there's not a lot of what we call drake marks, right? Where they jam their beaks into the flesh.
Yeah.
To create a hole where they can go after the things they want. There's really no, you don't see hardly any of those strike marks.
Yeah, which means that kid probably showed up just, I don't know, right after the body got dumped there. You know, it seems to me.
Yeah. And
of course, I don't know. Maybe you know this. How do vultures find dead bodies? Is it through sight or through smell or what?
Yeah, actually, vultures have incredibly good vision. So what vultures do, you'll see them doing this. If you just drive along a highway anywhere, at least in the United States where we have vultures, but probably all over the world. They see really well, and they look for something that looks like an animal to them, and they look to see that it isn't moving. And what they do is they circle, and they just keep getting lower and lower and lower until they're pretty sure that the animal isn't going to get up and it's probably dead. I know this because one of the games we used to play was called Catching Vultures.
Yeah.
If you were willing to go lay in a field for an hour or even more, a vulture would start circling you. And if you were very still and you didn't move, he would even be willing to land in the field with you and you'd get to get up close and personal with a vulture.
Mm-hmm. Just don't fall asleep because you might be snoozing and having a nice dream and suddenly pecks your eyes out, you know? So.
And that gets to the second part of your question, which is I think they have to be able to smell that you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had them land in a field with me and been like feet from a vulture and been like,
oh, I can see it.
And that's kind of cool. A little
bit, and then he goes, whoa, and flies away.
And then he goes flying away, just yelling.
Well, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that Vulture was like, why would someone do that? Why would someone just lay in a field to ruin my day?
That's just rude. You wasted a bunch of his time, dude. I mean, even seriously.
The Vulture perspective, I just wasted his time, calories. You did. He's like, yeah.
You did. And time is money to a vulture, you know. He needs to eat, man. And yeah, he could be finding some nice roadkill somewhere, you know.
Yeah, so he thought he had a little boy laying in a cow pasture. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, oh yeah. Well, anyway, back to this, back to our case here. The corp. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is where the case gets even more messed up.
Yeah.
The toxicology report showed no signs of anesthesia or any accompanying paralyzing agent or medicinal drugs like painkillers, opioids, or whatever had been administered.
Wow.
So why is this odd?
Yeah.
Well, because there were no signs of restraint wounds.
Yeah, no chafing on his wrists and his ankles where they tied him down, for example. Yeah,
exactly.
None of that. Yeah.
Right. So if you were performing a surgery, you'd anesthetize the subject. And if you were torturing someone, you'd strap them down so that they weren't obviously like anesthetized and couldn't feel it. Right. You want them to feel it. That's how torture works. But neither of those things seem to be true. We know that the wounds, or at least the bulk of them, were done to actual living flesh.
Yeah.
But that
while he
question,
was alive.
Right.
Yeah.
How were the perpetrators able to be so precise while a full-grown man would obviously be fighting, writhing in pain?
Yeah, yeah. The only thing the only hypothesis I can come up with here is that maybe what they strapped him down with was something really soft, like, you know, like towels. You know, they strapped him down with towels or something that wouldn't bite into his flesh or really chafe real hard. But other than that, I have no clue here.
I mean, maybe, yeah, maybe they were able to do it so that you couldn't. Yeah, that's possible. But I would say that even something really soft, you'd be fighting so hard against while they
would
cut your face apart, ripped your eyeballs out.
Yeah, there should have been some bruising at the very least, even if there wasn't chafing or anything like that, right? You would think, right?
You'd think there'd be something. You'd squirm, you'd fight, you'd do something.
Yeah.
It would cause some element of it. And I mean, even if you don't believe, even if you think this coroner's full of crap and don't, I just honestly don't. It'll mess your night up.
Yeah.
But like, you can look at these pictures on the internet. There's no bruising around the wrists and ankles. He doesn't appear to have been restrained in any way.
Yeah, no, it's, and so weird. And here's another interesting fact. During the autopsy, of course, the cranial cavity was opened up, right? Mm-hmm. Standard procedure. And according to the coroner's report, the brain was undamaged, except for signs of a cerebral edema. And now the presence of an edema without an accompanying trauma, say a blow to the head, for example. Right. Apparently, that is according to medical science, which I don't know much about, but apparently that is indicative of an agonizing death. So apparently, you know, I guess I could imagine if you're being tortured to death or just tortured, your blood pressure and your, you know, just goes through the roof probably.
Oh, yeah.
And sooner or later, you burst a gasket in the brain. And that's
what a way to go.
Yeah, and so there was an acute hemorrhage in the cerebrum, which is apparently the actual cause of death.
Yeah,
and apparently the victim died of cardiorespiratory arrest that was probably brought on by the extreme pain. I could imagine that, you know, totally.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be a stressful situation. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. So what the coroner is saying is that the intense pain inflicted on him caused his brain, his lungs, and his heart to fall apart.
Yeah.
And this can happen. There are other cases of this. You can go and destroy your well-being by reading about it if you want to read about it.
Yeah.
So essentially, he was tortured to death.
Yeah. But still, again, how could you torture a guy like that without tying him down? That's weird.
Something, right?
Yeah.
And he was a fit man.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start just a little bit about the victim.
Okay.
He was 53 years old, and he suffered both epilepsy and he was an alcoholic.
Okay.
So he had some issues.
Yeah.
He often visited the reservoir to fish, and he had been reported missing 3 days prior to the body being discovered. Police later found his clothes hidden in the woods on the opposite bank. So it follows that he had taken them off, and then he had swam about 80 meters to the other side to find a fishing spot.
What was the plan? He was going to fish naked? Is that the...
Brazil, man. They do this stuff.
Is that what they do down there? Okay, whatever. Yeah.
His family members confirmed that this was a habit of his.
Uh-huh.
And he'd been taking medicine for epilepsy. Authorities initially believed that he had mixed alcohol, he was a drunk, with his medication, and that had resulted in him having experienced this super strong reaction that resulted in him collapsing and dying after a big strenuous swim, right? So his heart's really racing.
Okay.
80 meters is, I mean, that's 80 meters of open water is a pretty big swim.
Yeah.
The authorities said to the family that they believe that his body had been picked at by scavengers like rats, insects, vultures, etc., and that his injuries were a combination of decomposition and animal predation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is still what skeptics will give you as an explanation for the man's death.
Yeah, and I was when I was reading this, I was thinking, I was wondering if there was, this being Brazil and all, and all sorts of nasty things live in the water down there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wondering if there is such a thing as like a hole saw fish, you know?
It
bores into you. It spins itself around at super high speeds and bores into your flesh. And then it sucks out your internal organs, you know?
So I did spend a little time trying to figure out what would be in that reservoir
that
might be deleterious to a man. I kind of came up with bupkis. Like, I don't even know if piranhas live in there. If
you're from Brazil,
you know this, get back to me. It doesn't look like piranha.
Yeah, this is a good. This is actually far away from the Amazon basin. This is way in the south of Brazil.
Yes, you're really far away from that. But then more than that, I kind of gave up on that line of questioning or whatever you want to call it, because he was found quite a ways up the beach.
Yeah.
So whatever killed him, it wasn't in the water. I mean, I guess unless it attacked him and he got up the beach, and we'll talk about why that's unlikely in a minute, but he didn't die and then wash up on the shore. That's not how his body was found.
And there were no signs either that he had been grievously injured and then crawled up on the shore away from the water and then died.
None of any kind.
Yeah. In fact, there were no footprints found.
No.
No.
And that's really, okay, let's start moving toward that, because this is actually a really important factor in this case that I think gets ignored when people try to be dismissive of it as something that is weird, is hard to explain. But let's get to that in just a second.
But it was quickly established by the same men of science that it was unlikely that it was predation, natural predation, because the victim had not been dead long enough for natural decomposition. So where was he? For nearly 4 days.
Right. He leaves his family. He's reported missing.
Yeah.
I don't actually know how much time had passed between him leaving and him being reported missing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to imagine it'd be some amount of time, right? Like, he's going out fishing. They're like, well, he didn't come back.
Right. Exactly. And so, but he hadn't been dead for those whole 4 days. Okay.
Not at all.
And his body was not laying on that beach, and there were no reports of a naked man running around the beaches near the reservoir. Right.
No.
But and animals had been at the corpse at the scene a little bit, but it didn't look like they had pulled out his organs. Again, evidence rules that out. There should have been blood and viscera and all sorts of weird stuff laying around on the beach.
Right? But that was not the case.
But then, again, this leads us down the mystery hole here, the mystery rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Both the boy and the police officers who first responded said that the site where the body had been found, there were no footprints there around the body.
Right.
So if somebody put the body there, and it seems obvious that somebody did put the body there, because that guy didn't go to that beach and lay down and do that stuff to himself. so somebody put the body there, and yet there's no footprints around the body. Right. That's weird.
They drop him out of a helicopter?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that, it probably was dropped out of a helicopter.
Could be. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I suppose, you pull up in a boat, you put the body there, and then you brought a broom and a rake with you, and you sort of smooth out the sand.
Even just a piece of wood, you could probably smooth that out.
Yeah, something like that, possibly. It could have been. And then the wind comes along and helps out a little bit, too.
Yeah, sure.
But then again, if you did that, if you're going to bring the body to shore and dump it there, then obviously you don't care if the body is found. So what's the big deal if somebody sees a few footprints?
I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
If this was a homicide, he was put on display to be found.
Yeah, I think
that's how
so.
I look at it.
Yeah.
You could just throw him in the reservoir. He wasn't found floating in the reservoir. He was found up the beach.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess maybe whoever did this, if it was somebody like, say, in a boat who did this and erased their footprints before they left, maybe they had just a little bit of a sense of humor and they thought they would tweak the UFO crowd and stuff like that by, erasing all traces of footprints. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Right.
This is a really weird little mystery here.
It is. It's really odd, really gruesome, but odd. So despite the coroner's misgivings, he was overruled by authorities who went and informed the man's family that he had died of I think I'm quoting here, unspecified natural causes.
And he had holes in him. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
They closed the case in a matter of days and took no further inquiry from investigators or the family, who I don't know much about, but I think was not totally satisfied with the answers they were given.
Yeah.
This has led some to speculate a cover-up, and it is, it's a little odd. I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to get it off their plates. It's hard to say. Moreover, the haste that was used to close the case likely spurred someone on to leak the photos and the report.
Well, they took their sweet time about leaking them, though. It was 6 years later that they finally leaked them.
Well, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but yeah, you're right. It took 6 years, but
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, but yeah, so, well, anyway, this is a really messed up story. We've got some theories for you, but before we can talk about those, we need to talk about the coolest sponsors that have ever sponsored anything in the entire history of sponsorship. Don't you think?
Let's go.
Yeah, let's talk, and we'll be right back. And we're back. Hope you enjoyed the commercials, and time to talk about a few theories about what killed this guy and who. Yeah, so let's see, what do we got here? You got any favorites here you want to talk about first?
I don't have favorites, but let's start with, I think, what is probably the most obvious one, which was natural causes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the official story, and it's what, you know, skeptics think.
Mm-hmm.
Authorities stated that it was a natural death. He was suffering from epilepsy, alcoholism, and they said basically that he mixed his alcohol and his medication, and that resulted in a reaction when he swam towards the other bank, got to the other side, and then collapsed, dying due to cardiac arrest. And of course, he was picked apart by vultures and other animals.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, this actually does make pretty good sense, but only if, and honestly, only if you don't read the coroner's report.
Yeah.
Right. If you go out and read a listicle about this, you're going to say, I know what happened. I got this down.
Yeah. Right?
It's when you dig into the finer data about this that you start to see that, I mean, you can go do this. I got it off the internet and I ran it through Google Translate, and it starts to give you a different picture. So here are my questions about this one, Joe.
Yeah.
What made the highly precise holes in his flesh?
Yeah.
Now, that could have been animals.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen pictures of animals that make holes that look like really
pretty perfect. Surgical. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
yeah, like right, the so. Like the Brazilian hole saw fish, for exactly. example. Yeah.
Yeah, like vultures and things. They actually can make holes in a carcass that actually can look oddly perfect.
But there is the symmetrical arrangement of the holes, so that kind of
exactly
kind of shoots that all to hell. But that's
right. Yeah, like vultures don't put things in perfect order, like a 1, 2, 3. That's not a real thing that they would do. They'd have them all over randomly.
Yeah.
And there's the other question I really have, and this is a big one, which is what sawed his jaw off?
Yeah.
Vultures can't do that. I'm sorry.
They don't carry Dremel tools with them.
Something sawed his jaw off. You can't say, oh, he was just picked apart by animals. Come on. You guys are being too weird.
Yeah. Because
something sawed through the bones of his jaw.
I know. That is weird.
You're ignoring really important facts if you dismiss the fact that he got sawed through.
I don't really understand that, to be honest, either. I mean, if... why saw off a little piece of his jaw? Why not just remove his jaw entirely or something? I don't really get the sawing of the jaw. That's weird.
I have no idea.
But you know, but here's the thing though, is like, well, is it possible that he somehow went, found himself having some sort of a reaction to the drugs and the booze, and he's in the water and he gets super stressed and he dies of cerebral edema and heart failure and everything. And then somebody comes along and finds him right as he's dying and just pulls him out of the water and decides, hey, I'm going to take him home and use my new Undertaker's embalmer's kit on him just to have some fun, you know, and get some experience. Then I'll bring the body back and dump it off again.
Sure.
Is it, you know, maybe something like that? I mean, that's a little weird.
One question in my mind, which is, why didn't he decompose?
Yeah, still, because, yeah, I mean, that makes, unless he was maybe kept in a refrigerator for a few days, maybe.
Maybe. I guess I don't know enough about this stuff to really speak on it, but the coroner determined that the muscle decomposition was commensurate with about 24 hours out in the hot sun.
Yeah.
But they also found that he didn't suffer rigor mortis or even really smell. And that is bizarre. Mm-hmm. It weirded the coroner out.
Mm-hmm.
It weirded me out.
Yeah, that is a little weird. Unless I know that rigor sets in, but then it goes away again. So well, I don't know.
He was dead for longer, but then his muscles would have shown more signs of decomposition.
Yeah, exactly. So I was going to say if he'd been kept in a fridge, then he could have gone through rigor and back out again on the other side. But I assume refrigeration or freezing would have delayed the process of not only the onset, but also the exit of the rigor mortis. Correct?
Be honest, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I don't know.
A fridge, I don't know about, but a freezer, I do know that it is really easy for a coroner or qualified medical examiner to be able to tell you if someone's been frozen or not.
Yeah, I think that what it is there's water everywhere in your body. So it's like when you freeze, just like, you know, if you freeze a can of pop in the freezer, you know, it bursts. Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff in your body bursts because it's frozen and the water inside expands. So yes, it is pretty easy to tell. Refrigeration. Yeah,
don't hold me to this. My understanding is what they look for is perforations in the wall linings of veins and things like that, because the blood turns to ice, which is crystalline in form, and cuts up the insides of your veins.
Oh, okay. That's
something like that. I might have that. Or muscles, not necessarily veins, but like muscles. I believe that's what they look for. Mm-hmm. And please, out there, fans, I'm going off the cuff here, which is where I get myself in trouble. If I'm wrong about this, you know, please let me know, but also forgive me. But yeah, it's something like that. They can tell when a body's been frozen. That's actually really easy to detect.
Yeah. So he might have been
94.
So maybe he was refrigerated. I don't know, but definitely not frozen.
That's possible. Yeah.
But still, I don't know. I mean, again, like I was saying, if that had delayed decomposition, it should have delayed the onset of rigor mortis and also the rigor mortis going away. So the
coroner was very disturbed by how flexible the body was.
Yeah,
he felt that based on the muscle decomposition, he was saying that he should see rigor mortis. That would be within that time period.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't. He was seeing a flexible body.
Yeah.
Moreover, I mean, rigor mortis. I'm not an expert on that phenomenon, but I can tell you that if you take a piece of meat and you put it out on a beach in 90 degree weather in Brazil, it's gonna smell bad after a day.
Yeah, again, and that one, the smell wasn't there, so
I'm not gonna say that it smelled good, but the coroner was very disturbed by the fact that the odors of rot and decomposition were notably absent.
Yeah, again, it's kind of supernatural.
Right.
But also the question is what happened for those days that he was missing and unaccounted for?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Did he spend that whole time being tortured?
Maybe, but then where?
Yeah. Because
I don't know. A boat on the reservoir and a house somewhere? I have no idea.
Yeah, he wasn't on that beach. I mean, so yeah where the hell was he? Well, so anyway, but yeah, so the natural causes theory doesn't really work for me. I don't know. Not you either, I assume.
It doesn't really stack up.
No, not really. So
I see why people are attracted to it. I really do. But I think we should move on to theory two.
Yeah. Well, this is like, you know, the people are attracted to it. We talked about this before. The Occam's razor crowd always has to jump in and say, hell, man, right. Occam's razor, man. I hate those people. They're so annoying.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
And I mean, it's, yeah, fine. Okay. So this was a case of a guy swam around and he died. And the way that the animals pecked at him was presented in an odd and irregular way. But the most obvious answer is he just, had a heart attack because of a mix of alcohol.
Yeah.
And then he was, and age.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm seeing that. Vultures didn't saw off his jaw. Vultures didn't drink every drop of blood without spilling any of it on the sand.
Yeah, I know. They didn't
don't do that.
They didn't dispose of all of his innards without leaving a trace behind. They didn't do that either. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're messy little devils. So
Occam's razor works on this only if you ignore key facts.
Well, that's what a lot of those people do. I don't know if you've noticed that, but
I've really noticed that.
Yeah, Occam's razor does not apply here. So
right.
Well, let's move on to another theory here.
Yes. Murder most foul.
Murder. So let's see. So the coroner's report said that he died with extreme pain. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I could see that. Yeah, it certainly looks like what was done to him was pretty damn painful. It was torture.
Oh, my gosh.
It was beyond torture. It was savage. It was medieval, man. It was medieval.
I mean, I think maybe I'm wrong about this. I think of torture as being the kind of thing that you hurt a person till they do or say what you want them to do or say.
Yeah.
Right? You're not actually even really trying to kill them. This man was tortured to death.
Yeah. So obviously it wasn't, they weren't, I don't think they were trying to extract information or maybe they were, but they just went ahead and tortured him to death anyway.
Yeah, they weren't trying to get information or get him to do something or whatever. They were literally trying to give him the most painful death, which is maybe that's technically torture, but it's sort of a different category of torture than what pops into my mind when someone says torture.
Yeah. No, this was not your typical, even your average medieval torturer would have found this probably pretty shocking. But it leaves some other questions, though, which is, again, how did they do this to him without either using sedatives or restraints?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, how did they manage to do that?
He was a full grown, relatively fit man.
Yeah.
He would have fought back.
Unless, and I talked about maybe soft restraints. Maybe if you had some, like, several really big guys and one each on his arms and two more on his legs, holding him down.
No.
But even that, I mean, there's going to be bruising from them clenching his wrists and his ankles, right? You know?
Yeah.
Right. So there'll be marks.
I could think of is maybe if somehow he had some kind of neurological event that rendered him, essentially paralyzed but still receiving pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe someone thought it would be fun to mutilate the corpse, not realizing that he could still feel what was going on. That's absurd. Ew. That's an absurd theory.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what would.
I mean, that's all I can figure. That's all I can figure how you could do that to a human being
without
the human being reacting and you having to do something to hold it down, sedate it, something.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And so, that's really, and unless
all those leave traces.
We'll talk about this a little bit more. There's other possibilities. There's the third theory, but let's run this one out.
Let's run this one out.
Yeah. The murder one out. First of all, there's why. Why would somebody do this? I mean, because there was nothing in this guy's past that he would have been involved with gangs or criminal activities. And
no
indication that he had done something so heinous to somebody that person would want to come back and torture him in the most heinous way possible.
Yeah. Here's an example. This is an example I cooked up in my own head, right?
Okay.
Let's say some investigators went in the village and asked around about this man and found, there's a really strong rumor going around that he hurt some kids.
Yeah.
He did some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And
somebody's father or someone in the community said, this guy needs to pay.
Yeah.
For what he's done to, children, something like that, right?
Yeah.
So they went after him and they did some awful stuff. I could see that. This was investigated by Brazilian reporters in the 90s, and nothing turned up. I've never found anybody saying anything about this man that would lead anyone to believe that anyone had anything against him that would lead them to commit a crime this vicious and personal against him.
Yeah. Although, he's from a small village in the area?
Yes.
It might be that maybe they all had an agreement to just not say anything.
I guess.
When the police and the reporters showed up. But still, it seems more likely that, there was nothing about this guy that would make anybody want to torture him to death. Which leaves over the possibility.
I'm really loath to defame this poor man. I cannot find anybody to say other than that he drank too much.
Yeah, well, a lot of us do that, so that's.
Exactly.
Other
than that, I can't find a single thing about him that says that anyone would have wanted to do something like this to him.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm really loath to even imply that it's a possibility because I don't think he did. Nobody has said anything. This was a pretty big story in the 90s.
Yeah. No, it's, and so that probably would have come out. But of course, the other possibility is that it was just a random psycho killer.
That is possible.
An incredibly sadistic psycho killer.
He finds a man.
Yeah.
Older, drunk. Maybe having an epileptic fit, possibly. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone weakened, certainly in a bad state because he's naked on a beach and his clothes are 80 meters away across the water. Someone he could take advantage of. I could see that.
Yeah. Of course, there was no other. There've been no similar murders reported. Although I gotta say this. I mean, even though serial killers tend to follow a pattern, there's actually it's not carved in stone that they have to.
That's true. That's the scariest thing to me. Right, the one-off killer.
Yeah. No, so he did it this way this one time, and he did it some other psycho way the next time, and on and on and on like that.
Or maybe just one time he thought it'd be interesting to torture a man to death.
Yeah, he did it, and he scratched
that out of his system.
Yeah, he scratched that off his bucket list, and
scares me so bad.
I would
take 100 John Wayne Gacy's before I take someone who would do something like that.
Yeah, I know, but
right,
but even if you take the serial killer thing, I mean, he's still. Got the body onto the beach without leaving any tracks.
Right.
Although maybe it was a wealthy serial killer with a helicopter.
Well, actually, one thing that's been put out there, and I don't buy this, but I will put it out there. I didn't put it in the script. I will put it out there. Was that he may have been tortured by the government and then dropped from a helicopter onto the beach.
Yeah. But again, why?
I can't figure out why. Yeah, right. The motive, why this isn't something, you know, there are some messed up things that the Brazilian military has done to like dissidents and people like that.
Yeah.
But they didn't do this, for one. It doesn't follow this pattern. And then also, this guy was not a dissident. And I can't find anything to say that he would have ever had conflict with the government of Brazil. Like, there's just nothing to connect that out.
Well, maybe that's what brought him to their attention, is they were just looking around and they spotted this one guy who seemed like the least dissident-y person ever. And they thought, well,
yeah,
that's just a little too perfect. Let's torture him and find out what the hell he's up to.
Well,
but,
okay.
No, I'm just kidding, really. But
it's absurd. But yeah, the one theory I've heard is that maybe he saw something. He swam to that other bank and he saw some military operation going on.
Well, that rates been. A bullet in the head, not torture. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Why would you spend days torturing him? I'm not saying it's like just the stupidest theory I've ever heard, but it doesn't quite. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They shoot him. They dump him in the reservoir. It looks like a robbery or something, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you'd do.
But yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to throw it out there because people on the internet have speculated that maybe he swam up on that beach and then saw something he wasn't supposed to see.
Yeah.
But I still can't figure it out. Like, it still doesn't all make sense.
No, it doesn't. Again, why would you want to do something so heinous? And again, this, you know, the murder theory doesn't really explain some of the other questions, like why didn't the body decay normally? What about the rigor mortis?
Right.
What happened to the missing pieces of them? Where did that stuff go? I assume that became fish food or something. I don't know.
I guess so. Yeah. Maybe they threw it in the water or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I guess it is worth noting. Nobody was walking around the woods and found a pile of intestines and a pancreas or whatever.
That stuff would probably be nibbled up by all the critters at some, you know,
eventually. No, it's true. But where did it go? Where did they put it?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, those are questions to ask.
Yeah, good questions, which we will probably never get the answer to. But there's another theory out there, and I think this is your favorite.
It is my favorite, though it's not the one I necessarily embrace.
Well, you know, actually, this one is...
but it's always going to be my favorite.
It's kind of, well, yeah, but actually, it does make a certain amount of sense in a way. It explains a few things, don't you think?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, well, so what is your favorite theory?
Alien.
Aliens. Yep. It's aliens. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was aliens.
It's honestly, even though I don't necessarily embrace this theory, it's kind of the best one. Mm. So I'll get into it. Okay. Let me dig in here. It's worth noting that Brazil was going through a major UFO flap in 1988. People were seeing UFOs all over.
Okay? Yeah.
So, but just keep that in mind. The man's injuries actually resembled cattle mutilations, which were a common occurrence back in them days.
Yeah.
All over the world. Like Russia, the United States, Brazil, Mexico. This was being reported.
Although most of those actually were not aliens. It's just...
No.
No.
Most livestock mutilations are not the work of little green dudes.
Yeah.
But were actually the result of animal predation and scavenging, which can honestly look really messed up to an untrained observer. Animals can go at a corpse with what could appear to be surgical precision. I mean, they can, but there are a few cases where the precision used and the manner of what's known as disassembly were agreed on, even by experts, zoologists, wildlife biologists, to be distinct from the typical scavenger behavior. Now, it's probably not even 1% of the cases, but it is worth noting that some of these things do exist, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to tell you that every time a farmer found a dead cow in his pasture that, right, that it was aliens. I'm not saying that. But comparing some of these more credible photos that you can find on the internet, if you want to freak yourself out,
mm-hmm.
to the ones of our victim, you want to freak yourself out even worse, particularly the cookie cutter wounds and the symmetry. Well, there's not nothing there.
Yeah, no, there have been cattle mutilations that have been done in a very, very similar fashion. Like,
yeah.
And especially if you look at our victim and some of the cattle mutilations, that some of it does really look almost like a surgical dissection, you know, something you would do in medical school on a cadaver, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing that people in Brazil especially have put out is like, could this be a human version of cattle mutilation that was done by some sadistic ETs?
Yeah. Could have been.
I mean, okay.
Or maybe they were incompetent ETs and they mistook this guy for a cow.
Right. Cut up a cow. Or their boss was like, go cut up a cow. And they're like, we found a cow.
They couldn't find a cow. So it's like, oh, this guy's kind of cow-like. Close enough. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They were like, I don't know, man. What can you see the difference? The boss is like, yeah, I can. And they're like, well, I don't know. It's got a mouth.
Yeah.
Butt.
Well, that could have been organs. It too. They could have been newcomers and they didn't actually, they hadn't done their homework. They didn't know what a cow actually looked like.
Well, I mean, I think it would come to something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's worth noting that if this was done by ETs, right? They selected a human being for cattle mutilation, right? The same type of things that they've been alleged to do to livestock. This would be more or less a one-off. I don't think, and I looked up, I tried to research this. This would be pretty unique in the annals of UFO lore of a person being mutilated the way that livestock is by UFOs. So it would have to be something like what you're talking about, where they were like,
I can just picture it now. You know, they come back and they present their findings to the boss along with, you know, a bag full of human viscera, et cetera. And the boss is like, you imbecile. You don't, does this look like a cow? Oh, I don't know. I guess.
Do you think cows ever go, stop hurting me?
Yeah.
And they were like, they don't. It's like, no, cows don't talk. People talk. That's one way you could know.
But you know,
did it have spots?
But here's the thing, though, about this is that it might be that even though this seems to be kind of a one-off, even though it's similar to cattle mutilations, it's only happened this one time. Maybe it's happened a whole bunch, but they dispose of the body in such a way that it never gets found.
Maybe
they take it out and they just drop it in the ocean or something like that, or they just disintegrate it with their disintegrator beams or something.
No, I mean there is a theme, and I'm not super down with this, but I'll hear them out among ufologists or UFO. You know, a certain amount of people who go inexplicably missing. Uh-huh. Have been abducted and will never be returned. They may be alive. They may be dead. They could be, we don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
Maybe they're still on that saucer. Maybe they've been taken back to Alpha Centauri or what the heck ever.
Yeah.
But
it'll be like First Encounters and they'll show up 50 years later looking, without having aged a day, you know, since they were abducted. I mean, yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Right. I mean, and that's kind of actually, so I want to get to this before we wrap up, which is that there are a lot of things about this case that you can understand why this has been preserved, especially in the English language, in the UFO culture, right?
Yeah.
Sort of been frozen in amber in the UFO lore community, because there are so many things about this, like the fact that there were no footprints.
Yeah.
It's like he dropped out of the sky and landed there with no organs and perfectly cut shapes in his body and organs surgically removed.
Yeah.
His jaw sawed away, gross things like that, that kind of like Aliens kind of explains it, right?
Well,
they necropsied him.
It's not the most credible theory in the world, but actually it explains stuff better than everything else in this story.
It kind of does.
It kind of, you know, so I'm not saying I totally buy the alien theory, but I got to admit,
it's got its
good points. It does, yeah.
Where I would push back on that is to say that just because it answers a lot of the unknowns doesn't mean that it makes it right? Just because this would answer it. I mean, you may as well just say that they're fairies or whatever.
Yeah.
That sounds absurd now, but in the 19th century, that would have made as much sense as, or more sense maybe even, than me saying, well, maybe aliens did do it now. Mm-hmm. Just because I can't figure it out, just because I can't get to the answer, doesn't mean the answer is extraterrestrials or fairies or angels or some other thing.
Yeah, because, you know, again, if it was, say, a demon, why would the demon do exactly what he did? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Why would he cut away a piece of the jaw? Why would he, you know, suck out the organs through a hole, you know, through a couple of holes? I mean, I don't know.
Come up with an answer. You could say he left it as a message to tell people to turn to Christ, or I don't know.
But maybe to turn to Satan. That's maybe, it.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know.
Right. I mean, we can't really come up with an answer. I will say that at the very least, maybe just to back it up to, you know, 50,000 feet or whatever, I do think that there are aspects of this that are very difficult to explain. And we have.
Oh, yeah.
It is reasonable to start looking at answers that seem absurd.
Yeah.
Like alien involvement or, I don't know, whatever else. Sombrasois, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Brazilian cryptids,
Light creatures. That was a popular theory at the time, that there was some kind of cryptid who did this to him.
Yeah, but then again.
We covered in Jao Prestesfilio. If you recall that old,
yeah, he was the guy that was like sort of burned alive.
Yeah,
and nobody knows how or why. Or, yeah, yeah. The thing about it is you know, I like the idea of some mysterious, horrifying cryptid, but again, you'd think you would find more corpses like this in the area.
You think, right?
You would think occasionally one would turn up, and so that's kind of the problem with that particular theory. Although. Right. I don't know, or maybe a cryptid found himself some like embalming gear and, you know, decided to play around with that.
The Mapinguare decided it needed to get into the undertaking field.
Yeah. It could have been something like that. Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it is a weird freaking story. I gotta say,
yeah.
Been a damn creepy, horrifying story at that too, you know?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah. it's as bad as any horror movie you've ever seen.
I don't know. I'm sure there's something out there in the French extremity genre, or some of the torture porn films. But man, that is
it's pretty scary to think that stuff like this could happen. But thank God it only happens in Brazil and not here.
Yeah, I would say if you're looking for a reservoir to swim in Brazil, there are other ones that are not the Bellings Reservoir.
Yeah,
not that it's not perfectly safe to swim there. Millions of people do it every year, but you could avoid this one. Go to a different one.
Yeah, you might. I don't know. Maybe that's but there's a lot of, actually, there's a lot of people swimming and fishing in it. There's a lot of people who live around the edges of it and stuff. Yeah.
This stuff doesn't happen to them.
Apparently not. Either that or they cover it all up. Maybe the local real estate agents cover it all up because they want to continue to sell new houses there.
That's how it'd be in Portland.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, that's about it. I don't have any more theories about this particular case. Do you?
I got nothing. And honestly, the theories I went through, I don't really buy any of them. I don't know what happened to this poor man.
Yeah, no, I know. None of them really explain everything. So yeah, what the hell?
I'm not even saying I got to go with the aliens on person, this. But yeah. Let's all just take a moment to think about this poor man went out hard, man. This was a bad day for him.
Oh yeah. Maybe even a bad couple of days. I don't know. He had a rough ending there. Yeah.
I don't think even if this guy was the worst person, I don't think he deserved that.
Probably not.
There's not many people I'd wish that on.
He'd have to be a pretty heinous individual to deserve that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of real scumbags out there. I wouldn't wish his death on.
No, I know. And this guy probably had done nothing to anybody. But
doesn't seem like it, no.
Well, he was, I think, probably in the wrong place at the wrong time and attracted the attention of the wrong person or creature. And that was it. So let that be a lesson to you. Don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. There you go.
Okay, how about this? Maybe this is a lesson. If you're going to go swimming or whatever, you're going to go out in the woods or down to the reservoir, take a buddy.
There's that, too. Yeah. Yeah, the buddy system works. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, right. It might have. I don't know, but it might have saved this guy's life.
Well, assuming that your buddy, of course, is not a serial killer or an alien, but, you know.
Yeah, take a buddy you are at least fairly sure isn't a serial killing alien.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Or a cattle mutilator.
Most of my buddies aren't.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Joe might be. He's my buddy. I think he might do
this. I can just see you got your bestie. Yeah, you want to go fishing? Yeah, you know. But first, let me tell you about all my cattle mutilations. But, you know, I've really been thinking a lot about how I'd like to, like, you know, like move it on up to the next level. Yeah, be careful about your buddies, too.
Watch everybody. Be careful out there, guys.
Yeah, don't trust anybody, right? Yeah.
Trust but verify. Is that what we say?
I don't know.
All right. Well,
anyway, let's
wrap this one up.
Yeah, no, we should wrap this one up. Just a few quick things about, you know, staying tuned to hear Tess tell you what her email address is and how to find us on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. And of course, a plea to leave us a rating and a review, a good rating and a good review on wherever you find this fine podcast. We would appreciate that.
Yeah, it means a lot to us to have you. It does. You leave us a review.
It does, you know, and, yeah, definitely. We appreciate that people appreciate us. You know, we like to hear that stuff. It makes us feel good about what we're doing.
Well, and it helps people find the pod.
It does too. Absolutely.
And that is actually the most important feature of leaving us a review. Not just that it makes us happy, but it helps other people who like the same kind of content as you find out about this podcast and grow our audience base, which helps us to be able to bring you more episodes.
Absolutely.
I guess what I'm saying is it's in your interest to leave us a rating and a review.
Absolutely. And
not
so,
just in our interest.
Yeah. Absolutely. It will pay handsomely in future podcasting episodes.
We will bring you all kinds of news stories about poor men cut apart by unknown forces.
Yeah, well, we promise next week is not going to be quite as grisly as this week.
You promise. I don't.
Well, okay, unless I stumble across, you know, an interesting story that involves a lot of mutilation, but that probably won't happen. All right.
Hey, well, look, I just wanted to top your Mama's in the Furnace episode we did at like Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that was a while back. That was
a grim one.
Yeah, that was, I've done a lot of grim ones, frankly, but tend to be the stories that survive. So enough of that. I think we should get off of here and let these people get on with their day. All right, toodaloo.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.